Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Every single prayer point he gave is actually the reality that we'll face anybody that dwells on earth. And he gave us a clue of how we should capture realities in prayer. And one of the realities he gave us was the reality of being tempted into evil. The assignment of temptation is first not to mature you, is first not to build you up. The first assignment of every temptation is to end you up in evil. Because the Bible says, for the habitation of the earth is full of cruelty and evil. So the most predominant atmosphere on earth is called evil. Until you understand the subject of evil, you'll be a victim till you die. I'm going to give you a little foundation of evil. What evil is. Then the solution for evil. There are four things that represent evil. The first thing that God called evil was when man chose the word of Satan above his word. Evil is when you make a choice between God's word and another word. That is what God calls evil. I'm telling you God's definitions for evil. The first of it is that. The second form of evil is when man successfully separated from God. When man could exist without God's presence, that was rebellion in the highest level, because he was made in the image and likeness of God. So he actually rejected its essence. It's like making a robot and then the robot refusing instruction and leaving his place that he has been placed and roaming about and destroying whatever he wants to destroy. When we left the presence of God, that is also called evil. We left our true essence. That is why without God, you are a monster. Because what makes you a composed being that should profit the earth is his likeness that he placed in you. The moment you separate from that, you are a monster who has no original intention for your creation. Any man that is separated from God has lost his original intention for creation. A weapon may be produced not to destroy, but probably to protect. When it loses its original intention, it lands in the hands of robbers for destruction. You are a dangerous weapon when you separate from your essence. And that is the second form of evil that happened to man when he walked out of Eden. When you look at the interpretation of Eden, Eden is not just a place, it's called presence. So when he walked out of Eden, that was evil. That's why sin is not to have God. Sin is not to have God. That's why righteousness is to accept God. Evil is your ability to want to stand alone without the influence of God. That's you. That's called evil. Number three of evil is the corruption of man's conscience. There was something that suppressed the flesh of man. The flesh of man was the monstrous part of man. And the presence of God in man was actually the well-defining meaning of his creation. When he lost that essence of God, his monstrous part was revealed because of the corruptness of his conscience. Suddenly, there was an eruption of the desires of his flesh. So the second form of evil was when man started to collaborate with his flesh and brought out what has been in the flesh, but the presence of God has suppressed. So you started seeing murder, started seeing immorality, started seeing that. The Bible calls it the reprobate mind. A mind that can differentiate between good and evil, but choose evil. Then he said that men started sleeping with men, women started sleeping with women. And he calls it vile affection, animalistic affection. That's what the Bible calls it. Animalistic affections. Number three, corruption of the man's conscience. Yes, which allow full expression of the fleshly desires without restraint. obi an tumi nsi kwan wa won so umu bibia ni mu ebit machine kwan na ye adwuma fe se ye sa. And number 14 that characterize evil is man's acceptance and full collaboration with the life of darkness. It's man's acceptance and his full collaboration with the life of darkness. The Bible says that true light came, but men have loved darkness. It's when men started to collaborate with the ideas of hell and the systems of darkness. It's called evil. When man's conscience died and his flesh broke loose, he was looking for something to exist by, because man is not made to exist alone. So when he lost his existence and collaboration with God, he had to find another to collaborate with. So it was left with the flesh. God gave man three major components: the spirit, the soul, and the flesh. The spirit collaborates with God, the flesh collaborates with the devil. So when your spirit comes alive, your whole three being collaborates with God. If your spirit dies and the flesh comes alive, the whole three being must collaborate with the devil. You can't stand alone. Man was not made to stand alone. He must collaborate with a higher power. So the next evil was man to accept the life of darkness and to collaborate with the life of darkness. So man started accepting the nature of Satan. To obey to make us a me, media me pair before. Man has accepted the life of darkness. So he tell you that me entro o de ba mi de be shall. Me abufo de ba mi de be shall. Me atayo o de ba mi de be shall. Me it is man accepting the life of darkness and collaborating with the devil to live. A man can say, this is my sickness, this is my weakness, this is my dad, this is my dad. Me, I can't meet a lady and let her go, I'll fire you. It is accepting the life of darkness. And number 5, that defined evil was when man got to the point of accepting the system and the ideology of Satan and collaborating with him, to a point that man started feeling more of evil than good. Obi to make us man started accepting evil more than good. All men are scam. Man started accepting evil more than good. So every woman thinks all men are scam. Every man thinks all women are gold diggers. It is an accepted life of darkness that we have accepted inside. Then it leads us to the final and most dangerous realm of evil. Man's ultimate hatred for man. Man's ultimate hatred for man. Listen, the beginning of evil is to this end, that God's creation that he made in his image and likeness must be destroyed. But the devil does not have the power to do that. He must recruit the creation to destroy the creation. So the end of evil is to this point: man's ultimate hatred for man. This is where abortion, armed robbery, murder, corruption, destruction, introduction of fake diseases, fake medications, everything came in. What the devil couldn't do to man, man must do it to man. That is evil. That is evil. Gossiping, tarnishing images, speaking lying tongue against each other. Yes, yes. This is why a man can give birth to his children and hate his children. A man can go and pay the bride price of a wife and hate the wife later. This is where suicide comes in. This is where wickedness and evil comes in. This is the work of evil. This is what evil means. It starts from getting man to rise against the word of God, so that man, by the word of the devil, will destroy man. So when man was separated from God's presence, the end was the first that happened. Cain killed Abel. Man hated man. So now you have understood that the end of evil is man's hatred for man. That's why when Jesus was teaching us to pray, verse 12, he said, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Then verse 13, he said, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. That means man's ultimate temptation is between these two: the sin against God and the sin against man. If man can be helped in being delivered from temptation, then he can forgive the fellow man. For the temptation God must deliver you from is the temptation of hating another man and rejecting God. Man has done the work of the destruction of human creation than the devil has. So when God even became flesh and came on earth, it was man that killed him. Because man has been recruited and given the job of the destruction of anything flesh and blood that is in the image of God. So it takes another woman to teach another woman prostitution. It takes another man to teach another man masturbation. It takes a man and a woman to put camera on them and to have sex for others to watch and lust after themselves. It takes a man to herald the right of homosexuals. Another platform calls man a victim and destroys. Somebody will lose their job by the working of a man. Somebody will lose marriage by the working of a man. By the introduction of witchcraft, men have destroyed men. How do we deal with evil? How is evil dealt with, and what is the solution of evil? Now you know where evil begins and ends. How can a man be delivered from evil? It is called to be born again. Deliverance from evil does not start by prayer. It's to be born again and to submit to all the layers of the regeneration. I believe strongly that there are many believers in church that must be born again. There are many leaders that must be born again. The day we understand the mystery of the rebirth, many people will understand that they are not yet born again. Being born again begins from confessing Jesus as Lord and the Christ. You confess Him as Lord and the Christ. That's the first process. You don't confess your sins. You confess Jesus as Lord and Christ. Then He moves you to the second level. Then you repent from your sins. You don't confess your sins. You repent from your sins. God is not interested in you telling Him I'm a fornicator. He's interested in you stopping fornication. God is not interested in you saying, Lord, I'm a liar. He's interested in you stopping lying. So He wants you to tell Him that I accept the work of Jesus on the cross and I repent from today, from lying and hating my brother. Repentance is the second process for being born again. The third process is sanctification. After you repent, you must be separated unto something. Sanctification is the process of being separated from every process of evil, back to God's presence again. So sanctification is what presents you back for you to comfortably want to dwell with God and in God. So man must return back to God for God to be able to call you my own. That process is called sanctification. When God can call you His vessel, His child, His very own, that you can be prepared for every good work. Sanctification follows repentance from sin. It is when you begin to accept all the dimensions of God back to yourself. If prayer is of God, then I choose to pray. If Bible study is of God, then I choose to study. If going to church and fellowshipping with the brethren is of God, then I choose being sanctified unto the Lord. Then the next thing is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When you separate yourself from everything, you must be occupied by something. Otherwise, you'll go back again. That is why this is all the process in rebirth. Otherwise, you'll go back into it again. So the Holy Spirit must take the place of where lying, gossip, demons, everybody occupied. He must take his place again. Then finally, we have something called restitution. The Greek for restitution gives another word like theocracy. When you intentionally walk back to Eden and say, Lord, I accept your governance over me and I accept every provision you made for me. So, long life, strength, glory, blessings, riches. Restitution is when you intentionally go back to God and say, Lord, all that I rejected, I come back for it. I come back for your influence. I come back for your governance. I come back for your laws. I come back for your instructions. I come back for your power. I come back for your glory. I come back for your righteousness. I come back for your wisdom. I come back. Restitution is not to go back. Some people have taught restitution that go back to those you offended. Restitution, check in the Greek, in the New Testament. Restitution is to go back to God. And to tell the Lord that everything I rejected from you, I've come back. To tell you that that is what I need to have the essence of living. So give it back to me, including you and your governing throne. Whoa. Give it back. You search through scriptures. All the evil things people did that actually brought them consequences as a result of the evil they have done were directly against men. And God took over as it is against Him. But actually, almost everything ended with men. And sometimes when the enemy is projecting such evil against you, it's not far from you. When the enemy wants you to sin against God, he sets you up with a man. Set you up. And many of you, there is a root of sin lingering around your life. It's about to happen. Some of you, it is happening already. The Bible says, Nathan went to David and said, you have sinned against God. But actually the sin was that he slept with Bathsheba and killed Uriah. His sin was against men. God took over him. And that changed the story of his whole generation. It changed their story. Paul said, I'm a chief sinner. But actually one of the greatest record of his sin was that he was persecuting the church. And he was the one that orchestrated the death of Stephen. So it was not directly to God, but God took over the evil. Joseph said, if I sleep with Potiphar's wife, I have sinned against God. So he knew what he would do to a man, God would take over. That was the spiritual intelligence of Joseph. That when I sleep with Potiphar's wife, it's not a case between me and Potiphar. It's a case between me and God. So actually, evil is an action between man and man that God takes over. Eli's sons were sleeping with women in the church. It was the women they had been unfair to. They were being unfair to women, but God said, you have dishonored me. You have dishonored me. So actually the agenda is between what happened between you and somebody on phone last night. What actually happened before you slept to wake up to pray on half hour? What happened? That insult, that is where God took over to name evil and righteousness. So this thing we are doing is not far from you. Whilst we are praying, somebody will say, the nipadi yem, the nipadi yem, on card your nudi yem nipada. The nipadi yem, the nipadi yem, the biaye konya mi enima. There is evil on our heart. But we live with that evil untouched because we are always seeing what people are doing to us and we don't see what we are doing to them. The one Judas harmed was God in flesh, not God in spirit. It was God in flesh. Jesus was full man. He was the one Judas harmed, but God in spirit punished Judas. God, no. What? Who did Korah offend that the earth must open for him to enter? Who did Korah offend? Is it not Moses?
Yes.
Who did Miriam offend? Is it not Moses? So because of one man, earth swallowed men. Because of one man, a woman's hand was withered and became a leper for 7 good days. Because of one man. They didn't do it to God. In fact, Miriam was a prophetess. She didn't speak against God. In fact, she was speaking for God. She was speaking for God. That you can't marry outside Israel. She was actually speaking for God. But God dealt with him because he has spoken against a man. The whole thing about evil is man to man. The whole thing about if I know me be a mystery, this actual is man to man, then spirits take over. Lord, forgive me if I have done evil to a man. Or if I am, when I take, say man is generic, both male and female. If I have done evil to any man, we leave men to God. We don't deal with men. Get this right. We leave men to God. We don't deal with men. So what you do is you pray to God concerning men. And you leave men to God. The moment you go and fight your battle with men, actually, you become the evil one. In the sight of God, many right ones became evil because they took over the battle. They took over the battle. So they became evil because vengeance is of the Lord. Vengeance is of the Lord. So actually, you pray to the one who can revenge. The moment you took over, you take over your fight with a man, you have set yourself up to be acknowledged and to be tagged and identified as evil. Because it takes an evil one to attack a man. So no matter what a man does to you, we go to the one who has the right to punish a man. And then you leave him to that man, to that God, to handle it. And many of us fought our own battles, and standing right, we ended up being evil. Because we fought the battle for ourselves. Jesus knew that you won't crucify me and go scot-free. So he didn't pray against them. He cried for them. He cried for them because he knew that his tears in Gethsemane would do something to Israel. He knew his tears in Gethsemane would do something to Israel. So he doesn't have to fight them, attack them, insult them. No, he just cried for the city and went to Gethsemane to cry to God. Last time I taught you something, that the temptations of Jesus, when Satan came to tempt him in the wilderness, he spoke back to Satan. But on the cross, when men mock him, he lifted up his eyes to God. He lifted up, because we don't fight men. You must be silent on men and loud on God when men rise against you. That is the principle. The moment you reply men, you implicate yourself and you make yourself a victim of evil, even though you may be right. So you must learn how to be silent, quiet, withdraw, and let somebody rant at you, fight you, insult you, do whatever they want to do, but you go on your knees. Even the prayer of mercy for the person will turn to a curse. Even if you pray mercy for the person, it will turn to a curse. God is a dangerous punisher. He doesn't punish in the time his enemies are expecting. He punishes at a time they won't know what they have done, so that they won't have the solution and the way to go back to him and seek for forgiveness, because they would have forgotten what they have done, so that his punishment can last for long. That's why the Bible says in the book of it is dangerous to fall into the hands of God. We are going to say, Lord, any battle I took over,
Jesus,
forgive me.
Forgive me.
Amen. Forgive me. Do you know that Stephen prayed forgiveness for Paul? Yet Paul was stoned. Stephen prayed forgiveness for Paul. He prayed forgiveness for all the people who killed him. Yet he was stoned. He was stoned. Not once. He was stoned. Jesus prayed forgiveness for those who killed him. Yet the whole of Israel was cut off from being a nation. Was cut off from AD 70 to 1948. They were scattered abroad the world. No nation. Why? Because some people decided to kill a man whom God sent to them. When God takes over the punishment, you will cry for who offended you. So Jesus says something. He said that anybody who offend these little ones, I'm talking to somebody who is so geared right now to revenge, sir, leave it to God. If you have revenged small, you are going to get opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Then you leave the rest to Jesus and see what you will do. See what you will do. Lift up your hands. My Father,
forgive me.
If I took over the battle.
If I took over the battle
with a man, not on my knees, but on physical exchange. Forgive me.
For the battle is not mine.
The revenge is not mine.
The revenge is not mine.
I commit all into your hands.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
That is why assumption is dangerous. Assumption. One of the things God has helped me on is my ability to control my assumptions. It will come, but God gives me the grace to say, okay, I may not know what is happening. But there are many of you, you have mastered in assumption. You say, I presume this is it. I presume this is that. And you attack an innocent person. When they go down on their knees, God becomes your opponent. God heartbeat. There are many of you where you have insulted somebody in your home. That the person doesn't know anything about it. The person has not fought you, but he has gone down on his knees and said, Lord, I'm going through battles I don't know about. Have mercy on me. He has turned the opposition to you. He has turned God as his opposition to him. I am praying that this week of overcoming evil, people will learn mysteries. There are some of you who fight innocent people. You just fight innocent people for nothing. And as a result of that, they knowing what to do has shifted your battle to God. And now you have God to deal with, you being the evil one and he being the righteous one seated on his throne. Because the Bible says that justice is the foundation of his throne. So all justice must come from his throne. So if anybody presents a case to him, he must make sure that justice prevails. So if you stand as the evil one, you are in trouble. Because God must make sure that justice prevails. I'm doing this for you to now begin to live a life that you say, I live it, Jesus. I go on my knees in prayer and I leave the rest to Jesus. No matter how small the case is, leave it to him. No matter how big the case is, don't let the world determine how we should work. And what we should do. You end up at the wrong side of life. Mark it. You end up as the wrong side of life. But the one who is able to go on his knees and say, Lord, I'm being offended. I'm being attacked. I've been spoken against. I don't know anything about this. Can you come through for me? Lord, can you come through for me? Or Samaini open a number in a nice way. Lord, and they go like, some of them are too deep. They go like, Lord, in this case, if I offended, forgive me. Some of them are too deep. They can go to God and say, this one has offended me. It's tormenting my life. But Lord, if I offended in any way, please forgive me. But the way he's dealing with me, please come and save me. Come and save me. Yeah. Wakope bossing ring amount in yame. Ubekum by force. Ubekum. Nakunu envy. Can I tell you why Solomon failed? I'm come to tell you a mystery. I've never mentioned it, you may not have heard it anywhere. The downfall of Solomon happened because his father left him enemies to kill. He left him about 5 people to kill and left him just 1 group of people to do good to. So he was too young for him to be behind the death of certain key people that were around David. Solomon, you are too young. Oh, Papa, Nana, Ninsan, we're goofing. Mujayen in says a radin pussy woman is ya sorry. A general kum ye jumane preco. And San Wako. So papa ni jani ni pa wunkum. O kumu muvien. A kwana anya no mabi. Wanya no mabi. Women upon women upon women until he ended up in a shrine. Guy didn't become normal. He killed some people that his father was afraid to kill. Now would ye David throne is obekum wo Solomon akokum. And chikun bi ma wo. David ja o mu meurade wo Solomon akokum. But Solomon in the first 2 chapters of his reign, no we o. Okum mu we o. And then after that, his life became some way bittersweet. I became somewhere because he took over a battle and fought it one on one with the people. You could have told your father that finished the job before you die. finish the job before you die. Yanku ni pasao. Yanku ni pasa. Wa sorry di ni pebi asi wa no di ne huntro ne huntro ne huntro. Nyanku pon be call you evil one day and you will receive the reward of evil. Wa sorry ni meda e dada manu mudata. One day a voice will tender from heaven and you will call you an evil one. And that will be your end. That will be your end. One of these days, that fraud work you are doing, one day a voice will tender from heaven. He won't call you Kofi, he will call you evil one. And that will be your end. That will be your end. Pharaoh is coming. Moses goes to God. And God didn't say, I've given you power, go and fight. He said, go for it. If anybody will kill Pharaoh, it should be me. Because he has fed you for 130 years. And as you are traveling, you are holding his gold. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. There are certain battles, don't do it yourself. Don't do it yourself. That is how wicked a generation has been. There are certain authorities who understand this mystery. So when there is an issue, they take their subordinates to do the fight. They take their subordinates to do the fight and they become quiet because they know the mystery of man to man. They know the mystery of man to man. And those subordinates never rise in life. They never rise in life. They never rise in life. I warn all my prayer team. Never pray against anybody that rises against me. No prayer topic must involve a name that will rise against me. Because I know that if I engage you in that realm, your destiny will be fought. Because I've allowed you to fight a man. That God must do that work. Don't push your children to go and fight for you. Let them learn how to go on their knees for God to fight. Don't let your children be sending messages to somebody. You see what you have done to my mother. God will deal with you. That's a man-to-man fight. One of the greatest setup in life was when David caught Saul sleeping. That was his setup. Then the man was spiritually intelligent, having the wisdom of the gods in him. Said, how can I touch the Lord's anointed? If you touch the one who is sitting on the throne, you will never sit on it. If you touch the one sitting on the throne, you will never sit on the throne. So God set David up. David, if you must honor the throne I'm going to put you on. And in order to honor the throne, show me that you honor the one sitting on it. That's why I pity men who are young people who wants to be millionaires, insulting millionaires. I pity young pastors who want to do ministry for long, insulting fathers. I pity you. I pity every father is false. Every father is wrong. Ye catch him with a mundia janumia nanumia. Musari anamu moki cancer. Now Pastor Elvis, you know, he doesn't know. He's not into doctrine. He's not into that. He's into this man worship and honor. You will see what will happen to you. You will see that one day a voice will tender from heaven and call you evil. Jesus came and he was eating. And they called him gluttony. He was eating. But he said that John came, he was not eating nor drinking. You mocked him. I came, I'm eating and drinking. You are mocking me again. You are calling me gluttony. If it were this generation, you would have insulted the Father for fasting. At that point, Jesus knew that the kind of strained lifestyle that John was going through was not the best. But he didn't condemn him. He came to meet him. So he ate all right, but he didn't condemn fasting. So when the disciples of John came to him, he didn't disgrace John before them. He said that when I go, my disciples too will fast. He didn't disgrace John before them. I'm showing you the foundation of evil. One day, the master may call you evil. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. The throne you will sit on, God will set you up with the one sitting on it now. God will set you up with the one sitting on it now. Woe unto you. Won't worry, I will teach you, be our worry on way. Do you know one day on the last day, on your judgment, when Jesus will sit on the judgment seat, do you know how judgment will go? I was hungry and they don't give me food. I was thirsty, they don't give me water. He said, where were you hungry? He said, I was in prison. He said, you didn't do it for the little ones. So the hungry person that came didn't give food to. He was the real deal. That was Jesus that visited. So I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving Jesus. Show me the man you are serving Jesus through. So at the end, even judgment day, men will be the reference. The number of men you fed and the number of men you rejected, it will be the reference. If God will use you, it's for man's sake. If Satan will use you, it's for man's sake. So man is the epicenter of everything, and the spiritual realm operates around men. I just need you to understand this, that your whole life, let me tell you, was the law not given to curtail evil. God gave 430 laws to guide people away from evil, and grace also came to handle evil, to give dominion over sin. But when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest law? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind. I thought it would end there. And love your neighbor as yourself. That means that the whole law is about love God and man. In other words, if you love God, you love man. If you love man, then you love God. Get the statement very well. If you love God, you will love man. If you love man, then you love God. Then Jesus brought grace. And when he was leaving, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. Love one another. This time, not as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. So I've shifted the bar. As I have loved you, so that all men, the world will say that you are my disciples indeed. So have you realized that both the Old Testament and the New Testament pointed us to one, the love of God and of men? And even the New Testament, the bar has been lifted. Love men the same way I love them.
Amen.
If you didn't love and serve men on earth, then you did no business with Jesus. Heaven will be sweet. If you went to heaven and you didn't love and serve men, then you did no business with Jesus. He was going one day and he told them, do you know the greatest among you? The greatest will be the one who will serve you. The greatest will be the one who will serve you. One time he told Peter, if you love me, feed the sheep. If you love me, feed the sheep. I think I've given enough evidence, scriptural evidence. If you love me, feed the sheep. That means if you love me, don't do anything for me. Handle the sheep and feed them. If you love me, Peter, feed the sheep. Look at Jesus on the cross, dying, with thorns on his head. His heart is rupturing. His nose, everything is teared apart. The Bible says his bones could be counted. A disfigured man turned to his mother and turned to John and said, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold thy son. Connecting man to man before he gave up.
Jesus.
On his last breath, he connected man to man. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. That means as far as Jesus is concerned, treat your mother well. Treat your son well. Treat your father well. Treat your daughter well. Treat your any ayakaba shada. Treat your church member well. Treat your pastor well. Treat everybody. Treat your colleague well. Treat your friend well. Treat your ali kopisanish. It's a man to man agenda. He said, even if you are coming to give me an offering and somebody has offended you, put the offering down. Go and settle with the person and come and honor me. Sir, are you still giving reasons about who you are fighting? God knows my hands are clean. I have taught my generation the truth. God knows my hands are clean. All those in churches fighting, family members fighting. And talk bufu na we na see. Every time you meet two church members, they are talking about another church member. There are some people, the only enemies they have are in the church. If they have not come to the church, it seems they wouldn't have had an enemy. It seems they wouldn't have had an enemy. As a pastor, one of the things that hurts my heart is how people find the church as the plague, as a battleground. And not the ground of truth and growth, but as a battleground that their people are always fighting. People are always fighting. Can't you see? It is a highly devised agenda. Apostle Paul said, "You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." If Satan will use a man, it is to get you to fight the man. So he said, "You wrestle not against flesh and blood." It means you are fighting flesh and blood. But I want to tell you, they are not your real enemies. The real thing used them against you, so you can fight the flesh and blood. Evil is not in hell. It's in how man treats man by the sponsorship of hell. How man treats man by the sponsorship of hell. Righteousness is how man treats man by the sponsorship of heaven. One of the most complex scriptures that if you don't understand this, you'll never understand it, is when Jesus came and said, "I came to set fire. A mother will rise against daughter, and father will rise against son, and mother-in-law will rise against daughter-in-law," and all that. Telling you the signs of the revival. The signs of the revival. That the battle among men will be the sign that the revival has begun. It will be the sign that the revival has begun. Because when one is set on fire, the enemy will use the other against him. So if it is daughter that is on fire, the enemy will use mother against daughter. If the son is on fire, the enemy will use father against. If father is on fire, the enemy will use son. So it will be a heaven-hell battle working through men. This is the end time revival. This time. So the day you want to go 7 days of fasting and prayers, somebody around you will rise and come after you. When you start to pray deeply, somebody around you will rise and come after you. This is one of the greatest prophecy of the end time. He said, "The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against." The whole agenda is to quench fire. I wish that somebody will call right now and say, "My brother, I forgive you. I wish that somebody will call my sister, Charlie. I've seen the truth. I forgive you. I forgive you. Let's cut this. Let's just cut this. Satan has won for a while. It's enough. It's enough. It's a man to man affair. It's a man to man affair. You think God needs your help? What can you give to God? So if God tells you to give, it's a man he's talking about. It's a man he's talking about. What are you talking about? Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. It was in Hebrews chapter 7. The Bible says that it was taken in heaven. It was taken in heaven. But it was a man he gave to. It's about men. It's about men. When you tell God, I want to do this for you, God will bring a man. Anytime you promise God something, he will bring a man that you must give to. Oh Lord, I honor you. That honor, he will set you up with a man. Honor the man and you honor me. Peter told Ananias, you did not lie to me. You lied to God. You did not lie to me. You lied to God. But Peter, you were the one I lied to. You were the one I lied to, sir. I didn't see God anywhere. Peter said, God took over. It is not God you are dealing with, though. It is God in men you are dealing with. It is not Satan you are dealing with. It's Satan in men. That is why Jesus could call Peter Satan. That was Peter talking to him. He called him a Satan. Because you have not known. You think when Satan is coming, he's coming with horns. No, Satan will be your thirdborn that will show up tomorrow. Jesus will be your firstborn that will show up tomorrow. It's not Jesus you are doing. Jesus, amen. It's not Satan you are doing. It's Satan, amen. Father,
Jesus.
Work miracles.
Amen.
Confirm this message with strange signs and wonders.
Amen.
Let everything that has been lifted up receive an unusual impact from heaven.
Amen.
I speak to the healing of the sick right now.
Amen.
I declare, let the sick be healed now.
Amen.
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 Anybody going to face any challenge professionally, academically today,
Jesus.
I decree and declare that the grace of the Lord has abound to you.
Amen.
I prophesy financial breakthroughs.
Jesus.
You will not lack any good thing today.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let the Lord go ahead of you.
Amen.
Let the Lord go ahead of you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055 +233 26 767 6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com. Yeah.